You get into baseball, though. You start broadcasting baseball. What was your first baseball job?
Did games for the Syracuse Chiefs. We won the International League title that year, and this was the makings of the what would become the 1968 World Series champion Detroit Tigers. And at Triple-A in 63 and 64, actually, we had players, Denny McClain, Mickey Lolich was on that team, Willie Horton, Ray Oyler, Mickey Stanley, Jim Northrup was on that team as well. I mean, these were really up-and-coming players, and as I say, they went on to win that World Series in 68 against the Cardinals.
Boy, Mickey Lolich wins three, and Mayo Smith puts Mickey Stanley at shortstop.
Yep.
And Al Kaline and Wright, and it's an amazing, amazing World Series. Kurt Flood slips in Game 7, and Jim Northrup hits it over his head, and Gibson is a loser for the first time in the World Series.
Yeah.
But, Hank, you had one of the plum jobs, and that is you broadcast baseball in Hawaii. My goodness, how did you pull that off?
Well, let me think now. I came out here to San Francisco in December of 64. And there wasn't anything open at that time. Franklin Muley said to me, I don't have anything open right now, but I'll see to it that you'll never starve.
Okay.
Which was really heartwarming.
Yes.
So I filled in at the Warrior office, you know, we stuffed envelopes, whatever. And now the basketball season of 64-65 is coming to an end. And, you know, Franklin sent me around to all the different stations here. And I went over to KCBS, and I met Don Klein. Mm-hmm. And I think Don had worked in Hawaii at one time, and he knew, you know, people. And everyone I met would always say to you, well, I don't have anything here, but if I ever hear of anything. And Don Klein heard of something because a guy that he knew who managed the radio station in Honolulu said, my broadcaster, Harry Callis, has just left to go to Houston, and I need someone who's done recreates. Well, I had done some recreates in Syracuse. And so I get a call from this man. Shows up. He said, Don Klein gave me your name. I'm in town. And he said, I understand you've done recreates. Do you think you'd be interested in working baseball in Hawaii this summer? Well, I had absolutely nothing here. So I said, well, give me 10 seconds and I'll get packed and what have you. So we met and we got together and whatever. And I went over to Hawaii and that's how it started. The advantage to that job is that I never traveled because, you know, it was costly to send a guy on the road at AAA. Not just on the road. It wasn't like going from Rochester to Buffalo. It was you going from Hawaii to the mainland. So we recreated all the road games, which was great because who wanted to leave Hawaii?
Well, now you have to explain to the audience what a recreate is. Now, I remember in Brooklyn I used to hear some of these.
Yeah. Well, these were games that were done, and a lot of them, I grew up in Detroit, and Harry Heilman, who I listened to, the great Tiger outfielder turned broadcaster, and he didn't travel during the war years. They'd do the games, the road games, off a Western Union ticker, and they'd have a Western Union operator at the game that would send, you know, the information, and you take these long strips of ticker paper, and it would say, first pitch, B1OS, you know, ball one outside, and, you know, you take it from there, and so out 4-3, you know, second to first, and whatever. In Hawaii, it was done a little differently because in those days we didn't have the satellites up. They had an undersea cable, but that wasn't always very reliable. It was really dependent on atmospheric conditions, and it'd get garbled a lot of times. So we had a stringer in every city, a guy at the game who would call us. And with the time difference, let's say just from the West Coast, it would be 3 hours at that time of the year. And we'd start our game at 6 o'clock Hawaii time, which would be 9 o'clock in Seattle or Portland or what have you. And by 9 o'clock Pacific time, he'd have at least 5-6 innings, you know, in his scorebook. And he'd read, and we'd record the phone call. And he'd read, you know, Smith grounds to second, so-and-so flies to left, this guy singles, next guy pops up, no runs, one hit, blah, blah. You'd get no balls or strikes. You'd make up the balls and strikes. And you'd do what you had to do. And one of the things I did in the radio studio where all this was taking place is I'd hang up the biggest picture I could find of a ballpark just to look at it, to get the feel of something, of being in a stadium. And as I say, we make up the balls and strikes. I had a call a wood block that, in an orchestra.
Sure.
And I'd have a pencil. And, here's the pitch, and you'd hit the thing, whatever it would do. And it was great, except once in a while you're looking at the paper, and you've decided you're going to have them swing at the next pitch, and here's the pitch, and you miss the damn thing. Or else the eraser would hit it and make no sound at all, and now you'd have to say ball two, and you'd meant it to be a strike. And the first game I did, all of a sudden, I'd 3-4 pitches into this batter, and I didn't know what the count was. I forgot because I start jotting down, on the paper. And the next day I went to a sporting goods store and bought an umpire ball and strike indicator so I could keep track myself. But the things you learn as you're doing this.
Yeah. Well, you're an author, and that's what those recreations were. You became an author and telling a story.
Well, I'll say this. We didn't have a lot of long games. I could say to my wife, Carla, I'll be home by 8 o'clock, and I was. Didn't have a lot of 3-2 counts. The guy I was walking. He was walking on four pitches.
Who were some of the players on that Hawaii Islander team?
Well, the first time, I was there twice, in 1965 and again 10 years later in 75. The 65 team was affiliated with the Washington, the second generation Washington Senators. And our manager was George Case, who in his day was a very fine player. Played with the Washington Senators and the Cleveland Indians. Great base stealer. Stole, I think, 1 year over 60 bases. And I learned a lot from him. He was really great to talk to. And he was a big influence on me. And we had guys on that team, an outfielder named Fred Valentine, who later played with the Senators. And a guy named Barry Chitrone, who played Dick Phillips. Chuck Cotter played, managed to... For a long time, we had a kid from out here at Santa Clara, Tim Cullen, who played on those ball clubs. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, very good. Hank Greenwald with us. Great to talk about this baseball career. Hank, let's jump ahead a little bit to the San Francisco Giants, because in 79, you become the broadcaster along with the great Hall of Famer, Lindsey Nelson. What was it like working with Lindsey Nelson?
Well, that was, talk about a privilege. That really was. What a gentleman Lindsey was. I mean, apart from his talent as a broadcaster, and didn't matter what sport it was either, for that matter. I mean, he was doing Notre Dame football. That's he was doing NFL games. And he had now left the Mets and came to work with the Giants. And I was privileged to be his sidekick, And
did you get the sport coat?
No, but I certainly saw a lot of his. And they were... they were something,
well known for an outlandish sport coat. I guess the story started, he went someplace and bought one that was really bad, and then he was such a hit with it that he did it all the
time. Well, he'd go back to these places, he'd say, give me the worst-looking sport coat you have, and he'd wear them every day. And when he came out here, I think KNBR started the thing that they wanted all their listeners to send in one patch, one square. and they made a sport coat out of that for him, too, which he took great pride in wearing.
He only stayed here a short time and never connected for him in the Bay Area.
Well, he was here 3 years, and I think it's part of people's perception about sports and what sports announcers should sound like and what have you. You do football, and you do it like college football, playing those games, 10 games a year, whatever, and there's 60,000, 70,000 people at every game, and it's exciting. You got bands, you got Notre Dame, you're going to sound excited doing the games. Okay. That's the nature of the game. It's a fast-paced game, same as basketball. You're in a confined area, crowd noise is amplified. It's a fast-paced game. Baseball was not meant to be an exciting game. It has its moments. But baseball is a slower-paced game. It's a game of it's a summer game, and it's a game where people sit down, they relax, they listen to the ball game, and that's the way you describe it. And say, "Gee, he was great at football, but he's sort of dull with that." You know, that's bogus. You know, it isn't a question of sounding exciting. It's sounding interesting. That's what your job is as a baseball broadcaster. You're not there to create excitement. You're there to capture it when it happens. You know, I used to say to owners that I worked for, you know, I'm not there to make your team exciting. That's your job. I'm not there to make the broadcast exciting. I'm there to make the game interesting to people. And that's what you try to do.